Good morning. You are listening to The Beacon. To you, everybody. Brian Hawkins, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, we have a special guest here.
Reese Bear is here. Yeah, she doesn't have a mic, though.
No. Aww. Well,
you want to come say
there's
hi
one over there?
On my, you want to say hi right there?
She'll have to sort of adjust it.
She's shaking her head.
But,
she's very shy. My 12-year-old tween is very shy.
Yeah, she hasn't made an appearance in quite some time.
Yeah, it's been. Been a while.
Mm-hmm.
She's on spring break, though. So
spring break. Yes, I remember it well.
You remember when we didn't have to do anything on spring break? No, it's just another notch
well,
on our.
I used to take spring break anyway.
You did? Why don't you take it anymore?
Well, I have this thing called a job, and they kind of
front. Well, that's what I mean. We have jobs now, so we don't get to just like not do anything for spring break.
Right. So I have to save it. Save the days off when I really need them.
I hear ya.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, you were sick. You were telling me that you got sick.
Sick as a dog.
Are you better?
I think so.
You look
I'm on
well.
The mend.
Okay.
I'm coming in there.
A little food poisoning?
Getting back. Yeah, a little food poisoning. I made a big mistake. I had pasta. Actually, it was linguine. It was supposed to be linguine and clam sauce, but they didn't have any clams. So we substituted shrimp.
Ooh.
And, I didn't taste anything different. I was a little disappointed in the dish overall, actually, but
well,
it didn't taste like... It was sour or anything.
I mean, you're ordering pasta from a Mexican restaurant. I don't know. I have a thing that restaurants should stay in their genre. Like when you go to those restaurants that have everything under the sun, I'm a little suspect of it. So.
And you're right because usually if I find a restaurant that has, you know, like hamburgers and then they have pizza and then they have...
pasta.
Yeah, and all these different types of things. I'm like, no, you can't possibly know how to do all of that right.
Right.
But for some reason, I went ahead and did it anyway.
Oh,
and then I
God.
Had a tamale.
Okay.
So.
Which, you know, I mean, that's the genre. That's Mexican food. So
yeah,
I would have trusted the tamale. But I don't know about that, especially when seafood gets involved. Like, I don't trust seafood unless it comes from, like, a well-renowned seafood restaurant. I mean, I don't eat seafood anymore anyway. But when I did back in the day, I would not order seafood unless it was, like, a seafood restaurant.
Your pre-vegan days.
My pre-vegan days, the pre-vegs, yeah, which has been 3 or 4 years now. I can't remember when, but it was like, has it been 5? My daughter's giving me the signal,
years,
the 5 years. Wow.
Because did she not have a choice?
She was in kindergarten. She remembers this. I don't know how you remember this.
Is she vegan as well?
She is. She has gone recently vegetarian. So she did not, I did not force my lifestyle on my kids, but she has made her own choice as of late to go vegetarian. So we got to work on little TJ now, but he's like a hardcore carnivore. So I don't know how much luck we're going to have with him anytime soon.
I don't think he'll have any cars, carnivore, so it goes right into it. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of cars with him, I had to go car shopping this week. And
how did that turn out?
You know what? I'm looking at one more car. But by the end of, by the time this particular show airs, I will be a new car owner. But I'm still looking, as of this taping, one more car tomorrow. And then tomorrow is going to be the purchase day. So it's fine. I mean, it's been a fine process. And by the time this airs, it will be wrapped up. And I, with bated breath, I'm sure you all will be holding. I will let you know what my final decision was. You know, I had to buy a house. Well, I didn't have to. I bought a house. Back in August, and of course, have to get a mortgage then as well. And the mortgage people I used was Guaranteed Rate, which is actually my daughter's dad works for them. So that was a sweet little in for me. But Guaranteed Rate just bought out Cellular Field.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now Guaranteed Rate Field, which is where the White Sox are playing. And we have a story about the changes in accessibility at Guaranteed Rate.
Right.
Field.
Well, with the new season, they've done some renovations to Guaranteed Rate Field.
Ooh.
And also they've got some new food choices. And we'll get into that a little bit. But mostly I want to talk about how people who are visually impaired can navigate around the ballpark, because I think that's a great way to spend an afternoon. People have, I think, the wrong idea about baseball. They want to speed the game up and make it faster. And
it's so boring, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours.
Yeah, but, you know, like the younger people say that, but then they'll play video games for like 3 or 4 hours.
Touché.
What goes on, I think, is that it's a leisurely kind of game, so you need to know how to relax and enjoy all the different amenities that they have. And we'll have someone talking about blind access for guaranteed rate field.
I love that. Did they deliberately set up like accessibility for visually impaired, or are they
right? They've always had it in some form or another, but they're always tweaking and making changes to make it better.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I like your attitude, too, about going out and enjoying a day at the park instead of, like, just rushing to get through it. Because you go to a baseball game. I mean, I'm not a baseball fan, and I'm probably of the mind of, like, oh, my gosh, this is so long. Let's just get this over with. But if you're a baseball fan, you want to go and just enjoy it. Enjoy the day, you know?
Like, exactly.
Just let your worries go. Enjoy a day at the park. And
right. Yeah, there was a time I was unemployed, and I couldn't wait for a baseball game, so I'd have some time to kill.
Oh, well, yes, idle time is the devil's playground for sure.
Right,
for
but, sure. You know, anyway, but we have that on the show today.
Great.
And what else do we have? Ah, we have
the
awe factor. Yes. Another uplifting story.
I'm still deciding between two, so I'll keep you posted.
Oh, suspense.
We got plenty of time here, friends.
Yes, and then we'll find out what's highly recommended. Brett has been busy going to different plays and things of that nature. And Sandy, of course, she holds things close to the vest, so I'm not really sure what she might be talking about, but we'll find out.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. It's all very spontaneous and impromptu with the two of them.
And then there's been a lot of technology news. There always is, I guess, now. Well, for people who are blind or visually impaired, Luke's Laboratory is what you want to tune into. You can find out about the latest technology and all the information. Road shows are started again.
Oh, yeah, the weather's getting nice, mm-hmm. So the road shows are kicking in.
So you can go out and actually try out some of this technology. And if you want to come into the store, you can do that, whatever you'd like to do. So we'll have that segment, and you can find out what you need to know.
Perfect. That mm-hmm. sounds great. All right. Well, without further ado, we will head into a commercial and we'll be back with the Awe Factor right after this.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000 plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Being a veteran here, I think, has helped me. I could not see, because this is why I initially was brought here by a counselor from the VA, because like they collaborate with each other and help us to get our vision better. When I first walked in here, I didn't know the life of a blind person. I actually didn't know. And when I came here, I walked through the door and I could see how people were so, you know, they act like they could see. And it was so inspirational to me. I cried like a kid when I first got it, because I was overwhelmed to see how people can deal with blindness, you know. And the Lighthouse really, really has helped me with a lot of things, because I've learned to be more knowledgeable about computers. And they have an exercise class that they teach us how to exercise. So every fourth Friday of the month, we have a luncheon where all the seniors meet. We sit there and talk about different events and different things. And my greatest passion right now is being on the radio, reading to the blind. That's my greatest passion. I really love that. Number one is to be able to give back to people that can't see, because I was overwhelmed. And I promise God within myself that I will do this until I cannot see again. This is my greatest passion in my life.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Beacon. I'm Brian Hawkins.
I'm Lainey Kleeman. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
That's okay.
Get excited about
stepping all over each other. But that's okay.
Sorry, we're in sync.
Yes, we are. And NSYNC is the name of one of the worst. Well, they weren't the worst, but I did not like them. You, however, I saw you. You went to the venue, didn't you, to see them once?
New Kids on the Block.
Oh, well,
that's
same
different.
Thing.
It's
yeah,
different.
Yeah, right.
But it was New Kids on the Block retro. Justin Timberlake came out of NSYNC, so they were good for something.
Oh, yes, and he was in town recently.
Yes, he was, and I do like me some JT.
All right, but I'll tell you, a recording artist that does not stink, and that would be Lisa Hilton. Is that a good intro?
That is a great
intro. I didn't want to say it.
I can tell.
Yeah, she's back by popular demand. And Tuesday, April 10th, at Buddy Guy's Legends, which is a great venue.
Ooh, it is a great venue.
700 South Wabash Avenue. And she has just released her 20th release, Escapism. And Lisa K. Hilton. Now, what does the K stands for?
Catherine. I don't know.
Maybe we'll get a chance to ask her. She'll debut new compositions from, like I said, her 20th release, Escapism. So there you have it. Lisa K. Hilton. And again, she'll be at Buddy Guy's Legends. And it starts at 5 p.m. till 8 p.m. Tuesday, April 10th, 700 South Wabash Avenue. And you'll be able to hear her piano stylings. So you want to get your advance tickets. They're $40, and tickets at the door will be $50. So you don't want to miss it. And if you do want to get tickets, you can online at chicagolighthouse.org/event/jazz-night/. Why is that so complicated?
It's very complicated.
But just go to chicagolighthouse.org and search for Jazz Night, and it'll pop up, and it'll be there. So, you know, that's something positive.
Something to look forward to. Lisa Hilton's been a staple of our show since the beginning.
And this is something I haven't said since I was 16. I have all her albums.
Wow. Wow, that's quite a tribute to her.
Yeah, and, well, she's been kind enough to, you know, recently send copies whenever she has a release, so.
Lovely.
And then I did go online and buy a few. But that positive story is a perfect intro to the awe factors. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, she's been working hard to bring this to you to get a connection.
To get an internet connection.
Yes, to bring the awe factor story. So what did you decide? What is today's
story?
Well,
we all love stories about animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just kind of a universal. So I went with the animal story. When Nicole was just 14 years old, her father began a job outside of the home, and so they had a little puppy named Chloe, and Chloe was her just very best friend, as puppies are. But once her dad started working outside of the home, Chloe was now alone for long periods of time, and she would bark all day long. And the neighbors started complaining, and so ultimately what happened was they had to give the puppy up at a local shelter for adoption. So Nicole understood the reasoning behind her parents' decision, but she was still devastated over losing her best friend and never forgot her. Nicole is now a 21-year-old living in Pennsylvania with her husband, and Nicole noticed that a Facebook friend of hers had posted a photo of a senior dog in need of a loving home. The elderly couple who had been caring for this dog both suddenly passed away. So the couple's neighbor posted the adoption ad on Facebook, and the elderly dog looked so much like Chloe that Nicole decided to adopt her. And she's quoted as saying, "It just reminded me of my old dog, my puppy, so I decided to take her in." Even more strangely, the dog was similarly named Chloe. She couldn't stop thinking about the resemblance of her childhood pup. So one day, Nicole decided to take the dog in for a microchip scan. And in a strange twist of fate, the new canine family member was the exact dog that she had given up all those years ago. So she's quoted as saying, "I felt like I won the lottery. I never thought I'd see her again. And now the little family will be able to give Chloe all the love and kisses that Nicole missed out on throughout her childhood."
Oh, wow.
So the family that Chloe was born into is the family that she will, you know, be able to live the rest of her life with. And so I just love that story. I think it's so great. Like, what a neat twist of fate that she was forced to give up this puppy that she so dearly loved, only to have it returned to her many years later.
Proving the adage that if it's true love, if you let it go, it'll come back to you.
That's right. If you love something, set it free. Oh, what is it?
Well, let's call Sting and find out.
Oh, it's something. It's something very obvious.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, that is a really lovely story.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
This week's The Awe Factor.
I feel better already.
Oh, me too. My heart is warm and fuzzy.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break right here, and then we will be right back.
Fake blood. It's not just for Halloween anymore. This is Sandra Tinglo with the lowdown on science. Scientists working on a project for DARPA, the R&D arm of the Pentagon, can now make fake but usable blood. Why? Because banked blood has a limited shelf life and has to be replenished. Big problem for, say, soldiers on the battlefield. Better to make the blood when you need it through a process called blood farming. Farming with a PH. Farming is a way to use plants or animals to grow medicine. It works like this. Genes are injected into the organism, which can then produce large quantities of a pharmaceutical. Get it? Farming. Pharmaceutical. In blood farming, stem cells from umbilical cords are mixed with nutrients and growth factors. The cells make a substance that, as far as the body is concerned, is indistinguishable from real blood. The researchers say just one cord's cells can produce about 20 pints of fake blood. But production won't get going for another couple of years, so don't stop visiting your bloodmobile. You need that good karma and that orange juice. Just saying.
The Lowdown on Science, online at lohdown.org. Produced by 89.3 KPCC and the California Institute of Technology, and made possible by TIAA CREF.
This is Sandra. Follow us on Twitter at lohdown.
Well, a brand new baseball season is upon us, and if you're like me, going to the ballpark a few times over the summer is an excellent way to enjoy some of your leisure time. Guaranteed Rate Field, home of the White Sox, is fully accessible for people who are blind and visually impaired. And Julie Taylor, Senior Director of Guest Services for the White Sox, joins us to talk about the accessibility features at Guaranteed Rate Field. Ms. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Now, right away, let's say I'm blind or I'm using a wheelchair and coming to the Guaranteed Rate Field to enjoy the game by myself. Now, for people who are taking paratransit to the ballpark, is there a designated area for drop-offs and pickups?
There are two locations that can be a drop-off and pickup. I would say the one that is most popular for our guests is at Gate 4, which is at the corner of 35th and Shields. That gives us access to elevator and also a place should every once in a while paratransit be a little late. We have a closed-in office area that you can sit and wait for that vehicle to arrive to pick you up.
And can you just go there and just wait, or do you have to sign up or anything like that?
There is no sign-up. Gate 4 is also our administrative entrance, as well as our one of our elevator entrances. Our main entrance for guests that require wheelchair escalator is actually Gate 5, which is on the north side of the facility. That is another place that paratransit drops off, as well as Uber. Uber drops off on that side of the ballpark. That's more of an open, traditional gate, whereas the Gate 4 entrance has an enclosed office space entrance. So that is one that I recommend for the pickups following the game, especially on evenings when it can be a little chilly outside.
Okay. Now, is there someone assigned to attend to disabled individuals when they come to the ballpark, if they have any questions or any needs or anything?
Well, traditionally, the guest relations team, there's one outside of Gate 4, one outside of Gate 5, as well as inside the ballpark we have booths. But all of our staff goes through a training. All 3,300 employees go through an orientation and training where we do touch upon any kind of special requests we may get or any guests that may need assistance, and they are asked to assist those guests no matter what their role here at the park is.
And should a person call beforehand to let them know that they'll need accommodations or...
Any special accommodations, we request that anyone, either those with a disability or not, should certainly call the guest relations department ahead of time. But traditionally, if you come into the ballpark and you ask for assistance, we'll make the accommodations right then and there. I would say that our sign language interpreters, we would prefer advance notice.
Okay. Now, that brings up a question. For people who are blind and they want to enjoy the game, does the ballpark provide headsets that pick up the game broadcast so they can keep up with the action?
We do have Listen Tech devices at the guest relation booth. They're all three are located directly behind home plate on each level, and the Listen Tech devices will give you the non-delayed radio feed of the broadcast of the game.
And you just request those and then return them afterwards.
We would really like you to return them afterwards, and yes, you just simply have to ask. Even a GSR, which old terms would be usher, our guest service reps that work the sections, they too know where those are located and can get either obtain one for the guest or directly bring that person to the guest relation booth to obtain the headset.
Okay, now for people in wheelchairs, how is the seating handled? Is there a special section where they can just, I guess, roll up to the action, so to speak?
So we have just over 300, maybe closer to 400 accessible seats, depending on which level you choose. In the upper deck, it's the very first row in certain sections, as well as the club level. In the lower deck, we come in on our top row, so they're towards the back. And then, of course, the most coveted slot, and probably the most expensive, is the accessible seats in our Magellan Scout seating area. Those are right behind the catcher in the first row. Those typically go to the season ticket holders in that area, but once in a while you can get lucky and find that accessible seat. Anyone can just call the ballpark and ask for the accessible seating department of the ticket office. Mary and Laura are typically answering those. And you can purchase them over the phone, you can purchase them online, or by calling Ticketmaster.
And what number would they call if they call the ballpark?
That would be 312-674-5246.
Okay, now I noticed that you have this new promotion for, I think it's Dollar Hot Dogs, and I love hot dogs, so that brings up the question of food. Now, can people who are blind or just able to easily access the food, can they go to the food stands and be served, or must they wait for the vendors?
No, they certainly can get assistance. Again, the GSRs will help get somebody to a specific concession stand. We also, for guests with mobility issues, pardon me, we have a team that are wheelchair escorts. Those same wheelchair escorts, obviously without the wheelchair, will guide anyone that's visually impaired that would like assistance to a concession stand and to their seat. And the dollar hot dogs are both vended and at all of the hot dog stands, so they're pretty accessible.
Oh, okay. Now, speaking of food, I understand there's some new sandwiches this year. Are you familiar with those? Or?
I'm very familiar. I'm very fortunate. Part of my role is to assist the food purveyors that we have here, both Sports Service Delaware North and Levy Catering. So I've not only know them, I've had them, and they're pretty good. I would say the most unhealthy best would definitely be our new burger that also has it has everything that a Cuban sandwich would have, as well as a beef patty. It's pretty big and it's pretty tasty.
Any other things we should know about any other sandwiches or any other food offerings?
So we have a couple new of our sausages that are pretty popular with folks. We have a chicken chipotle sausage that everyone seems to like, and the beer and cheese sausage, as well as a chipotle Monterey sausage that is with the chorizo sausage. That seems to be a big hit already with the staff around here that all had a chance to try it out. We also added a new grab-and-go. You think kind of like an airport kiosk where you can walk up and grab things and go, that have, believe it or not, some healthy options. Some people are looking for that at a ball game. And you would just simply go up and self-serve, grab a craft beer, a soda, a water, or maybe a salad, and walk out and pay for it as you walk out of the grab and go.
Okay. Now, I suppose this may not be your area exactly, but I was just wondering, what are some of the changes that have been made to the field this year?
Well, something that all ballparks are doing is extending that netting, which I would assume would be something that's helpful for everyone, and that is to cover the where the balls leave the field as best as possible between dugout to home plate to dugout. So it will cover both ends of each of the dugouts, extending that netting. Of course, we can't guarantee that a ball still won't go into the stands, but I know that that is something folks have asked for and has happened here at the ballpark. We also have added a craft beer cave, if you will, a small one in the upper level. People want to know about that. An area I do want to bring up, something that changed very just not too long ago, is our social media lounge. It has moved to our second level on our suites level, and right now only has stair access. For guests who require an elevator, they would need to actually go behind home plate to our Diamond Suite entrance, and we would escort them up into the social media lounge, as there is not an elevator access at that end of the ballpark in our left field corner. So okay. That's kind of new this year.
And how do you gain access to the media room?
So that is directly behind home plate on any level of the ballpark. The elevator will take you to the second floor, and then the social media lounge is actually in the left field corner, so you would be going down the hallway past our skyboxes in order to gain access.
So when anybody can go in who needs to make use of the media, or is it just for...
It's a fun interactive area. So there's all kinds of pictures in social media and charging of phones. It is sponsored also, so it's got some new activities and food products featuring Revolution Brewing.
Oh, okay. Oh, and I was just wondering, is it also the case, isn't there like a new batting cage?
And that would be in our, I'm sorry that I didn't bring that up initially, because that's one of the first places you can reach. It is in our Chicago Sports Depot, our two-story gift shop that's located on the north side of the facility at Gate 5, which is also our accessible entrance area. So it's easily gained entrance from the ground level right outside the ballpark. You can gain entrance into the Chicago Sports Depot and the interactive batting cage.
Well, sounds like a good time. Mm-hmm. Now, finally, what would you say, above all, is the key for disabled individuals to having a good time at Guaranteed Rate Field?
I think the most important thing is to enter at Gate 5 because there is a much larger area to enter, and just ask anyone for assistance. They're here to help. They love doing that. We'll make sure that you get a seating area that is best equipped for your needs, and call ahead. I answer the phone, my team answers the phone, and we'll walk everybody through exactly how they should enter and what suits their needs the best. And I can give you our direct line for that.
Okay.
It's 312-674-5225, and that's the guest relations department. We're happy to help.
All right. She's Julie Taylor, Senior Director of Guest Services for the Chicago White Sox, and it looks like they're off to a great start so far this season. Hopefully the weather will cooperate, and we'll get some great days, and they'll be able to get some games in.
That would be great. Maybe bring a blanket might be the next best thing you need.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul Computer Information Systems and a master's in business information technology. And I know I have a disability, and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also, going to a job interview and people look at you strange because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3640. 1-800-273-4343.
Welcome back to The Beacon. Coming up next, we've got our regular feature with Brett and Sandy. They're out and about around town, our friends of luxury. What is the saying I'm looking for? Leisure. Our friends of leisure out and about town, finding and reporting back to what's highly recommended.
How are you today, Brett?
I'm doing well. I'm Brett Shishkoff, and across from me is Sandy Murillo.
As you've already heard my voice, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I just figured I would introduce you since you didn't get that part in.
No, I'm still waking. Still waking up, Brett.
It is Saturday morning. It is very bright and early.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I forgive you.
Thank
and
you.
I think hopefully our listeners will too.
I hope so too.
We're all waking up together. So.
That's right.
I know you had a chance to go see On Your Feet, and last week I did a little bit of a review on it. So I'd like to hear kind of your take on it. What'd you think of the show?
Yeah, no. So Brett, I went actually on Easter Sunday. You know, a different way of celebrating Easter, but a very lively way.
Yes.
I think that the play was very lively. I know that we were talking about it a couple weeks ago before you went.
Uh-huh.
And it's like you told me, it's almost as if you were in a Latin or a Cuban nightclub sort of thing. Because that is what the play resembles. You know, the music, the dancing. And with the audio description, it was definitely an interesting experience. Bridget, who did, you know, I believe also did the audio description with you.
Bridget Melton is her name. She does all of the Broadway and Chicago stuff. She is fantastic.
She has a great voice.
Yeah. she has a great voice, but she's very thorough. Did you?
Yes.
Did you hear the show?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. It was the same thing with Hamilton. You know, she described a lot of what was, well, she described, you know, what they would be wearing, the costumes, there was a scene where they were in the ball.
Uh-huh.
And so she described the different dances and things that would be going on. So that's something that I do like about the audio descriptions with Broadway and Chicago plays, you know, that they are very thorough even before the play starts. And I get why that is, you know, because a lot of these plays, and especially in the case of Hamilton, it's such a fast-paced play that it was actually necessary to have that thorough descriptions beforehand.
Right, yeah. I think what was quite enjoyable for me is when you're on your feet, if you're in the aisles, be prepared to dance.
Luckily we were further back, so we did not have to do that part.
Uh-huh.
Because I did have, I had my mom sit in the aisle seat because I know that you had warned me. I, of course, didn't tell my mom. But, and as far as the play itself, Brett, you know, to be honest, I never really listened to a lot of Gloria Estefan's music.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am familiar, being from a Latino background, I'm obviously familiar with her story, with her background. I have to tell you, I've always admired her, you know, because she has gone through very tough times, you know, being an immigrant and then dealing with the car accident, you know,
right.
that left her in the wheelchair for quite some time. I know that for me, one of the songs that they played in the On Your Feet play was Reach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that song, Brett, it brings back so many memories to me. During the 1990s, I believe that came out before the 1996 Olympics.
Oh, okay.
And at that time, I was going through a very hard time with, you know, different health issues going on. And, you know, so that song, it was almost like a motivation for me to, you know, keep going and keep, you know, persisting in spite of all the challenges that I was facing. So, you know, hearing it during the play, it brought back so many fond memories, believe it or not. I just love that song.
Yeah, that's why I actually did a little bit of a review last week, is because it was going to be ending so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like getting it out as fast as possible was definitely necessary.
Absolutely.
Because it is a show that we highly recommend.
But I know that you read an interesting book actually related to autism recently.
Yeah, I actually read a book called The Curious Case of the Dog in the Night, and it's based in a perspective from a kid who is about 15 years old, and he has autism. His name is Christopher, and it starts off with him seeing a dog that has been basically murdered in the night.
Sure.
And so he decides to investigate this. He wants to try and figure out why this dog was murdered, what was the reason behind it all. And his teacher at the school that he goes to tells him to write this all down. So it's basically the story that you're reading is the story that he wrote for his teacher that told him to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going through this book, and it's from the perspective of someone with autism.
Sure.
So, like, one of the parts is he figures out if it's going to be a good day or a bad day based off of how many red cars he sees. If there's two or three in a row, it's an okay day, good day. If there's four in a row, then it's a really, really good day and something awesome is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If he sees yellow cars in a row, then it's going to be a bad day and he won't say anything, he won't eat anything, and so he believes it's going to be a very bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And like with people with autism, they're very particular about the way things need to be done,
sure.
The way that their life has to go each day. There can't be too many changes. Like he eats specific food and it has to look a certain way. If certain parts of pieces of food are touching other pieces of food, he won't eat any of it.
Mm-hmm.
So all of his food has to be separated. So you kind of get an inside look of what it's like to be someone with autism.
Sure.
He is a little bit of, you know, a higher functioning kid, but you definitely see how it affects his family. His parents are separated. And his mom is off somewhere else. And so, there's a lot that you see his relationship with his dad and how him having autism, the struggles that they have of trying to relate with one another, but the parents still try.
Mm-hmm.
They try to figure out ways to relate with these, you know, with his kid that it's just, they think completely different than we do. And so
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out a way to relate with them was one of the dad's hardest parts of the story. And so it was very heartwarming. It's very, very cool to see how motivated that Christopher was to like figure out what happened to this dog, but it wasn't the entire story. You actually start to realize that he has high hopes for himself. Like
mm-hmm.
he wants to take these exams in math, and he wants to actually go to university, and he wants to be like a physicist, or if he could become an astronaut, that would be like his main goal. And so you hear him being so motivated that he's concentrating on his math so much that, you know, it's like his specific specialty that he doesn't want anyone getting in his way.
Mm-hmm.
I just love this book. All the chapters kind of threw me off at first because
mm-hmm.
it went in prime numbers, so like 1, 3, and then it would skip all the way to like you'd be at the end of the book and you're in chapter 200 and something.
Interesting.
And so it kind of throws you off at first, and then you get maybe 5 or 6 chapters in, and then he explains why the chapters are in prime numbers, because he likes numbers.
Sure.
He likes numbers, and he thinks that just 1, 2, 3 is boring.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants his book to be something different than everybody else's. He doesn't want his book to be looked at like anything else that has been done before.
Sure.
So it's just really cool book. It gives you a different perspective than what most of us are used to.
And what's the name of the book again?
A Curious Case of the Dog in the Night.
A Curious Case of the Dog in the Night. It's highly recommended.
Indeed.
Well, Brett, that's about all that we have time for today.
I am Brett Shishkoff.
And I am Sandy Murillo.
And you have been listening to It's Highly Recommended on the Lighthouse Beacon.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Beacon. And I'm Brian Hawkins along with...
Lainey Kleeman.
All right. That time we got it.
We got it.
Right.
I was waiting for it.
One of my favorite things... Well, I shouldn't say that on the air.
But oh, well, now I'm intrigued.
Intrigued. Yeah. No, some people say that one of their favorite things is like when we talk over each other or talk together. I don't know how you can understand.
I don't know how you can understand.
Yes.
But, yes, but.
I don't know.
I guess it
provides energy or something.
Energy
like
or
that.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Is that what they mean?
I guess so.
Well, we don't want to disappoint our fans, that's
right.
For sure.
there's a great story that's been out for a couple of weeks now. Doctors hope for blindness cure after restoring patient's sight. Now, from time to time, you always hear about this kind of thing happening, but these scientists feel that a treatment for the commonest cause of blindness could be available within 5 years. And they believe after revealing the first two patients given a revolutionary stem cell therapy have regained enough vision to be able to read.
That's incredible.
Now, these two patients, they've had advanced age-related macular degeneration. And that destroys the central vision. And both of these patients were losing their sight. And they were unable to see a book or let alone the printed letters. But an implanted patch of stem cells over the damage at the back of the eye has restored the central vision enough, not only for reading, but to see faces that used to be a gray blur. Now, these two patients, one was a gentleman. He was, I think, 60 years old, and the lady was 50. And so this breakthrough comes from the London Project to Cure Blindness, which is a collaboration between Professor Pete Coffey of the University of College London and Professor Lyndon de la Cruz, a retinal surgeon at Moorsfield Eye Hospital. So this happened across the pond. And so that's good news. So hopefully they can follow through on this and continue to perfect it.
There's a lot of when I do stories for the Off Factor and I'm doing my research on those stories, I come across a lot of stories about treatments that are allowing people with visual impairments to see again. And I don't report on them because I don't want to offer any sort of false hope. But it certainly seems like there is a kind of an upward trend in the treatments becoming available for blindness, which is just super cool.
Right. And in the meantime, though, if you need some assistance in navigating the world with your blindness, we have just the couple.
the dynamic duo.
Who can help you in that. As a matter of fact, that's entirely what the Lighthouse is all about. And, of course, I'm talking about Luke's Laboratory.
Good morning. Good Saturday morning, everybody. I'm Juan Suarez. Let's open up Luke's Laboratory and welcome the one and only Mr. Luke Scribben. Good morning, Luke. It's been a couple of weeks. How are you?
Doing good, but I kind of expected the weather would have turned a little bit nicer by now, so I'm a little bit bummed out about that, but other than that, doing pretty good.
Welcome to another Chicago spring. Lovely, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, beautiful.
So what's up? What are we doing this week?
Well, this week I thought we would talk a little bit about television, because everybody loves watching television, and it seems though the weather kind of sucks. Well, you know, you might as well watch some TV.
Yeah.
However, obviously, as a person with a visual impairment, that can present some difficulties. I have talked a little bit about this before with regards to a few solutions, like, for example, using electronic glasses to look at your TV and zoom in and out, or a pair of binoculars that you could keep by your chair, and if you want to see something in more detail, you can lift them up and look at the TV. But what I wanted to talk about today was some accessible TV solutions using voice output. Okay, so whether you are visually impaired or blind or whatever your situation is, these would be suitable. Obviously, one of the issues that people face with TV is accessing the content. So if you bring up your TV guide, for example, Well, if you can't read what it says on the TV guide, then you don't know what channels to switch to find what programs you want to watch, right?
Right.
Yeah, so there are some really neat solutions for that. I'm going to talk about two of them in particular. The first one is Apple TV. Okay. And I'm sure that a lot of people listening to the show are Apple users. And I know that you yourself are an iPad user.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Apple has great accessibility built into a lot of their products. And if you are familiar with VoiceOver, which is their screen reader, and that is available on their iPhones and their iPads and their Apple Watch and their Apple TV. And so, as a person who is blind or visually impaired, you can turn on VoiceOver when you set up your Apple TV, and now you're able to navigate all of your content using VoiceOver, so you're getting voice output from your television, and you can navigate through the content using that. And so you can find whatever shows you want to watch, and you're able to get those going.
So that's a form, just like they have like descriptive movies. It's, I guess it's a form of descriptive TV?
In a way, but it's not describing the action on
the screen. But it's describing the controls and how to navigate.
Exactly. And, so it's allowing you to find the content.
To function.
Yes. So you can navigate and find whatever content it is that you want to watch. And because it's an internet-based TV service, there's all sorts of different TV streaming apps that you can have on there. And there's a ton of content that you're able to get. And things like YouTube and all of that kind of good stuff. So it's kind of like having a little computer connected to your TV and designed mostly for streaming, video content. So that's one cool thing. And I had actually thought for a while that that was really the only kind of solution which was like that. However, I was around at my friend Peter's house the other day, and he is blind, and he had just bought a Amazon Fire Stick. Okay, so Amazon have got a TV streaming device similar to the Apple TV. However, the Fire Stick, which is basically a USB stick that you plug into your TV, and it gives you video streaming services. This Fire Stick costs, I think, $39, something like that. It's extremely cheap, and I didn't know, but it has a fully featured screen reader built into it. And so just like with the Apple TV, using the screen reader, which I think is called VoiceView is the official name of it, you are able to navigate your content. And so, again, using the remote control and voice output from the television, you can find whatever shows it is that you want to watch, and you can get them going.
All right. You know what? I'm running out to the store this week.
There you go. Yeah. You should definitely invest in one of those. It works really well. And not only that, but Amazon, they create their own content, their own video content, just like Netflix do. So Amazon have their own shows, and just like Netflix, Amazon's shows are also audio described as well. And so if you're watching an Amazon show, you can go into the subtitles menu and turn on audio description for their shows, and then you will also get basically a narrator describing the action on the show that you're watching.
You're listening to The Beacon this Saturday morning right here on 820 AM WCPT. I'm Juan Suarez with the one and only Luke Scribben. And, of course, if you need some technical, say that three times or once even. If you need some technical assistance, anything technology, you can, of course, contact Luke here at the Chicago Lighthouse at 312-997-3649, or you can also reach him at our store, our Tools for Living store, at 312-997-3683. And this week, again, we covered the Amazon Fire Stick and Apple TV. And what else are we doing?
Well, we have our regular feature, Customer of the Week.
Almost forgot about that.
Oh, you can never forget about Customer of the Week. This week's Customer of the Week is a lady that I went to see just yesterday. And she was interesting because she had vision loss, as might be expected. However, she also had profound hearing loss. So she was essentially deaf. And she was also in a wheelchair. And so there's a few different things going on. And I took some technology out to her house and we had a look at some solutions, some electronic magnification solutions to assist her with reading. But the thing which was the most interesting to me was the way that we communicated. And the way that we communicated was, I think, something which shows how useful technology can be in all sorts of cases. And so what we did is we had a smartphone and we had voice recognition turned on. And so whenever we needed to communicate, I could dictate into the phone what it was that I wanted to say to her. And we had it set to a large font. And so she was able to read it, even with her vision impairment, she was able to read it. And so I could dictate a message to her, show it to her, she could read it, and then she could communicate back to me. And that whole process I just thought was really cool, and it just shows how useful technology can be for all sorts of different disabilities.
That's what I keep saying about technology. Technology is now the second language of the world. I don't care if you speak Spanish, Italian, Polish, German.
Yep.
If you cannot speak technology, you're going to be left behind.
This is very true. And if you want to learn how to speak technology, well, you can give me a call and I will be happy to teach you at 312-997-3649.
And how can they reach you through email?
Email address, luke.scriven@chicagolighthouse.org.
And anything else happening with the store, any sales or anything as far as roadshows?
Yes, so we do have a sale in the store at the moment. If you buy from a select range of CCTVs, you will get a free gift, either a free handheld electronic magnifier or a free carry case for one of our portable CCTVs. And so if you go into our website at lighthousetoolsforliving.com, then you will see a banner on the front page which will take you directly to those deals. In terms of roadshows, we had our first roadshow this week. It was a great success. Thanks for everybody who came out to that. And we have our second coming up next Tuesday, and that is in Palos Hills at the Palos Hills Community Center, address 8455 West 103rd Street, in Palos Hills. So hopefully we will see you all there. We will be bringing a good selection of things, as we always do. And if you have questions about technology or you want to see any technologies, then that's the place to go.
All right. And that does it for this edition of Luke's Laboratory. I'm Juan Suarez. Join us again next Saturday right here on The Beacon. Thank you so much, Mr. Luke.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul Computer Information Systems and a master's in business information technology. And I know I have a disability, and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also, going to a job interview and people look at your strength because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. The Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, that's it, my friend. Another one bites the dust.
Right. Wow, it's interesting. I was just listening to such a great, tremendous, tremendous loss. Listening to, now I can't think of his name, Freddie Mercury.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And
but that was a while ago that he passed, right?
Yeah, but I think I saw something on YouTube where a video or something of theirs popped up where someone used the part of their song or something, and so I had to go back and listen to a few cuts. So, by the way, Another One Bites the Dust wasn't one of them.
Right, okay.
I mean, it's a good song, but...
but not, you know, not
heard
one
a lot of them,
but, the tribute of Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, it's a good reference point.
Love it. All right. Well, thank you very much to Brett and Sandy for their contributions to this week's show and always for It's Highly Recommended. And thank you very much to you, my friend, Brian Hawkins,
thank
for
you.
Your... My pleasure. Always my pleasure for your production on and off the air. Many thanks as well to Dr. Janet Slick, the director and CEO of the Chicago Lighthouse. And special thanks to our special guest today, my little Reese Bear. And she's got her headphones on right now, so she can't hear me, so I'm just going to totally embarrass her. Reese Bear. Oh, Reese Bear, I love you so much.
You know, I
thanks
think
for coming on today.
A trend.
Yeah?
Yeah, have a guest, but not put them on the air.
Let's do that. Right.
Radio, yeah.
And then fake them at the end. Anyway, that's it. We're amusing ourselves way too much. So have a great week. We will see you same time, same place on the Beacon, WCPT 820 AM. Have a great week.